through the dead of night, seeking out broadcasting injustice wherever it appears. Only one man can wield it. Media Bat with Tim Bat, only on 95 BFM.
Kia ora, Tim.
Hey guys, I definitely need to sneeze, just a heads up.
Okay.
So there's something to look forward to at some point during the segment. A
now
little check-off sneeze.
You've just, you know how when you've got a sneeze building, it's you kind of just feel the anticipation for it? You've just spread that to everybody now. The whole listenership will be waiting in anticipation for the sneeze.
Tis hay fever season.
I can feel it tingling, but it's just not doing, it's not coming out.
There's pollen in the air.
Is that what it is? I'm not usually sensitive to... I don't get...
I think climate change and hay fever becomes more of a thing.
Oh, my God.
I read that somewhere. Could be wrong.
That is some scary news, but we're talking about the media.
Yeah.
What's going on in the media, Tim?
Well, we just had an election in New Zealand. I don't know if you guys caught that, but I thought that would be kind of an interesting thing to focus on for today. Everyone had their election night coverage. I saw none of it in real time. I was at the Green Party thing.
Green Party Party?
Yeah. What do you call them? They have a fancy name?
We've just been calling them the Party Parties.
I was at the Party Party.
They call it Headquarters. When
HQ.
They were live crossing, they were calling it HQ.
I was at the Grid and Generator. And
Renewable?
So, hey?
Renewable generating? Going on there? Renewable power? No? Terrible joke. Moving on.
It is very... It's a renewable... It's got that vibe of a building. It's a very sustainable building.
Good.
So, Rachel, you're actually dead on.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
TV3 and News Hub had what I would describe as like quite an American feeling approach to the election night coverage. Paddy Gower looked like he was moments away from a heart attack.
He was
the entire night.
So excited.
So hyper animated, cracking the worst jokes anyone has ever heard. It was like it was very you either loved it or hated it, right?
I think that's actually how people feel about elections, full stop.
That's
a little
true.
Bit isn't it? You know,
it's true.
There's no real middle ground. It's like, get it over with or come on.
I'm so torn because, like, on the one hand, I always like people going nuts out and making an effort, and you couldn't accuse Paddy Gower of not going full energy.
There was a lot of arm action going on. I was into it. I thought it was engaging.
The thing that gets me about it, right, and this is the thing about all like political coverage, is that when you boil it down to like a sports match, you really lose sight of the fact that these policies do anything.
It's like, that is true.
We are actually talking about the laws of the land, ultimately. We're talking about the people who create the laws that influence our lives.
I do have to say, it felt like a sports game. People sort of being, especially with the Auckland Central running, people being like, what's the score?
Exactly. Yeah. And the counter to that is it does, I think, get more people like in on it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not this erudite, unaccessible thing that people can't engage with.
And we've talked about this a little bit already this week, but I think you can't talk about it enough. One thing that election night does really illustrate, especially if you have an election like the one we've just seen, is how much literally every vote counts, because you look at electorates like Auckland Central and Wairarike, where it's like a matter of a couple of hundred votes in it.
That's
and it. You can look at your Facebook friends list and be like, I have more friends on this social media platform than this, like, you know, difference between these things. That shows you literally every single person that went in that booth, your vote does actually count.
That is so true. And I think it's important going forward that we throw around percentages a lot when we're talking about like polls and politics. Start breaking it down to numbers.
We're a small country. You can actually do that. You can see the difference.
Have a look at how many physical votes that actually translates to.
I think I'm accidentally letting out the fact that I am a huge election night nerd on air. Having, I love seeing
what did
the
you
votes
watch?
Coming in.
Were you bouncing around?
We bounced around. We listened to a lot of the BFM coverage. Mm-hmm. We watched a little bit of TV1 was mostly where we settled on the television show.
Everyone was just stoking on John Campbell and Hillary Barry being reunited. And to be fair, they are the most electric duo we have in media.
I TV feel like John vibes. Campbell could not hide his glee on the night.
Of the result of hanging out with
of
Hillary?
Of the result. Well,
yeah.
maybe it was also hanging out with Hillary, potentially.
Yeah. I feel like there was a bit of giddiness
totally.
Going on. And that was definitely the case with the last election as well, when Labour had that stonking result also. Like, it was...
John Campbell was rising out of his chair, yeah, reading out the polls. I was like, John, you're talking to Simon Bridges right now. You probably should just sit down.
John Campbell and Hilary Barry also were joined by outgoing Auckland Central MP and National MP Nikki Kaye. Man, it looked like she would have rather been anywhere but sitting chair that night. She was just having the worst time. Amy Adams, who's another outgoing National MP, joined RNZ's broadcast and did a great job and was pointing out some useful information, such as the fact that women are going to be really underrepresented in the National Party caucus now with all the outgoing MPs. The Herald and Newstalk ZB's parent companies, NZME, and their election night coverage was hosted by Mike Hosking and Heather Duplessis-Allen. I didn't catch much of that at all. I turned it on in an Uber, though.
Wild.
Yeah, I got it and I asked for it to go on.
Was this post-result or pre-result?
The results had just come out. I was sorting out the after party at Whammy for the Chloe campaign. And so, like, as soon as the results came out, I was like, oh, shit, this party's going to get loose. So as soon as they came out, I bailed out a generator and got in an Uber. And I was like, hey, man, I'm never going to ask this again in my life, but can you turn on Newstalk ZB real quick? And I was hearing Mike Hosking.
Did you hear his brain kind of popping as well?
He did not sound happy.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, he didn't sound happy at all. So, yeah, highlights of the night. David Seymour arriving in a jet boat.
That was so wild.
Oh, I didn't see that.
It was a lot.
It was such a crazy stunt. And it's just so emblematic of, I think, what we're going to be facing for the next 3 years with ACT, with 10 ACT members in Parliament. Because no one knows what the hell we're in for. Who are these people?
Two of them are vegetarians.
One of them's probably just a gun. We probably just voted in, like, a handgun off ACT's list that's going to sit in a seat. And David Seymour, when he came in off the boat, obviously all the journalists are like wanting to ask him questions. I was watching a News Hub clip of a journalist and a camera operator just chasing him. And he's not engaging at all. They're like, David, few comments. David, can I ask you a question? David, and this is all live to air. And he's just hugging all his supporters. It is the chaos of election night, I tell you what.
There was a bit, I think it was on TV1, when the Prime Minister walked out of her house and everyone was like, oh, she's leaving, she's going to the thing. But she's just popping out to be like, hi, everybody, standing outside my house. And one of the poor camera people, this is what election night brings out, is all this just straight to TV chaos and straight to air chaos. The poor cameraman, like, tripped over into the other shot, and you just watch this camera person bail so hard. And we're all sitting at home being like, I hope they're all right, because everyone's like trampling over them to get to the Prime Minister.
It's a chaotic night, and it really adds to the drama of everything.
There's a lot going on.
Speaking of which, Tova O'Brien absolutely eviscerating former National MP and failed Advance Party co-leader Jamie Lee Ross is like probably one of the most significant media clips of this whole year that will happen of 2020.
So this happened on the Sunday.
This was on the Sunday. This was like the after-match coverage. And she just... So what you've got to remember as well is that Tova O'Brien was receiving a lot of the kind of leaked information about the National Party from Jamie Lee Ross and reporting on it. So they had some, you know, professional relationship where they were working fairly hand in glove to get information out there.
Yeah.
And this was her cutting all ties for this man to ever contact her again. It went viral, particularly the bit that people have honed in on is the fact that Tova simply would not entertain for a moment him trying to bring up information that contravened the public health information about COVID. And she just, she labelled him directly narcissistic, but she said his actions were, and that he has been described as narcissistic a couple of times. Like, it was freaking brutal. Jake Tapper of CNN, he retweeted it. Patton Oswalt, big famous American comedian. Like, it's
Owen,
done.
Owen Jones over in the UK
I guess
as well.
It's done the rounds.
In America, they're really wanting to see someone do something like that to some of the people.
That's exactly
talking
it.
Talking over there.
Yeah.
I thought that one thing that I took away from that Tova O'Brien interview with Jamie Lee Ross was Jamie Lee Ross distancing himself from Billy TK in that interview. And I thought, wow, that's something when you've just run this campaign together and now you're just putting that distance there.
Yeah, he's the asshole conspiracy theory. I really invite everyone to watch Paula Penfold's 45-minute doco
on
him.
That's also
it's
fabulous.
Worthwhile. It's really good. Duncan Garner's going vegan, staying to his word because Labour performed so well and he didn't believe they would.
So he's come out and said he will indeed do it?
For 1 year.
I saw that...
And Grant Robertson might be joining him.
I saw that as well. I saw that I think Wise Boys said they would give him a free burger if he said he'd do it. And I hadn't seen whether he
good on them.
Whether he would or not.
The big thing worth noting is how wrong the polls were. Really important because so many people take their cues from the poll. The polls are like what gives us the media narratives and the story of the election heading up to the night. Because you don't have any actual information until the results come out. So
you just have what your mates are saying
exactly.
And what the TV and the radio is telling you, basically.
And the polls are scientific, so we put a lot of stock into them, but they were very off. For example, the last poll we got before election night was a News Hub Read Research one. It underpolled Labour's performance by 4.7 percentage points. That's a lot.
Yep.
That's like 10% of their whole vote.
Yeah.
It had National off by 4.3 percentage points. Again, that's pretty huge.
We were talking about the polls afterwards on Monday. I think we were talking about it here. And everyone was kind of saying that they don't really know anyone who's ever been asked to vote in a poll.
Yeah.
Like, I've never been asked, and I don't
I've never been asked.
I don't know anyone.
That's our catchment area. We've never been asked.
I'd love to know who they contact.
They have different methodologies. Yeah. They've started using cell phones a lot more now, obviously, because you have to. But I still think it's just, it's quite flawed and weighted to certain demographics and types of people. The Greens generally are said to underperform their polls by a couple of percentage points on the night. They didn't. They've been polling at 8% for the last month. They've hit it already, and when special votes are counted, they'll probably exceed that. And obviously, most significantly as well for us and Tamaki Makaurau, Chloe Swarbrick won.
In every single poll
that ever came out, she was third.
Yeah.
There was never anything putting her above third. And there was an entire media narrative of her splitting the vote that would allow a National person to win. Simon Wilson was one of the only journalists from a major media organisation that I saw who said, hey, maybe progressive voters actually should vote for the person they believe in, and that seems to be Chloe Swarbrick. And she won. I think it just goes to prove you should vote for who you want to vote for.
Exactly.
If you see someone you agree with and someone you think it would be a good idea to represent you, You should vote for that person.
Exactly.
I think we bend ourselves over and backwards and into a pretzel to try and figure out how to do all this strategic. It's bullshit. It's nonsense. Like, when the polls are this off, I think there's something about just if you see a person who you think represents you, you vote for that person.
Deb from the news team says her parents have been polled. But have you been polled, Deb? That's what I want to know. Because that's the thing, I think, this is very anecdotal here, but a lot of people talk about, I know they do phone mobile numbers, but there is always that concern that young people get missed quite often.
Well, it's also where they get those lists.
Where they get
those
lists from,
those
yeah.
phone lists come from specific places and they get bought and sold around, so that's capturing certain people.
Definitely.
You think they'd be better at this by now?
Modern age, eh? That will be very interesting, though, to see what happens with the referendums.
Exactly, because this has given me renewed hope that the cannabis legalisation and control bill might get across the line, despite the fact that it was polling really badly. So there's kind of a glimmer of hope, although it was polling really badly.
Well, we'll find out in 2 weeks.
We will.
And then we'll find out really, finally, everything on the 6th of November when all the specials come back. Can't believe we've still got basically 3 weeks to get through, but we'll get there.
Deb says no, she hasn't been polled.
Deb's not been polled. All right, there we go. Thank you very much, Tim.
A pleasure.
We'll see you next week. Hope you get a good chance to have a lie-in between now and then.
Oh, yeah. Hey, before I go, I've got to plug a thing.
Oh, hit us.
I don't have the information, sorry, but it's a free event that I'm hosting with some incredible journalists. Like, it's crazy. Carol Hirschfeld,
whoa.
Hayden Donnell from RNZ, Kirsty Johnston, who's now at Stuff, Leonie Hayden from the spin-off. It's on the 28th of October. It's called The Absolute State of It, Journalism in Aotearoa in 2020.
It's a good title.
It's happening on the 28th of October. Google it.
And head on down.
Head on down. You've got to get a tiki, but the tikis are free.
Excellent.
And there's beer and pizza there, so like, come on now.
Sounds like a mint time. Well, we'll see you then. Well, we'll see you before then.
Can I get... I'll tweet it.
You tweet that. You tweet that, and we'll retweet that.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Come back next week for another exciting adventure on Media Bat, only on 95 BFM.